Jo Muirhead, and this is the Entrepreneurial Clinician Podcast, a podcast for health professionals who want to know how we continue to serve our patients and our clients without sacrificing ourselves to the work. More than a conversation on making money or just burning out, this podcast has been created to progress conversations that we need to have to ensure that we know who we are so that we can serve those who need our help, so that we can actually be the significant difference in the world. Hello, and you have reached the Entrepreneurial Clinician Podcast. Hurrah! Today's guest. Well, this is a topic that is probably going to be a little confronting, shall I say. One of the gazillion questions that are asked over and over and over and over and over again by health professionals all over the world in community forums are questions that have to do with headshot photography. Now, before you tune out and go, "I'm sorted, Joe, I've got that," or "I don't want any more pressure, Joe," or "It's so expensive, Joe," I encourage you to stay and listen, because I'm actually speaking to a headshot photographer today, not a therapist who knows about headshot photography. And no offense to any of the therapists who know about headshot photography. I wanted to get some answers about this important, often time-consuming part of marketing, branding, relationship building. So I welcome John Lindroth to the podcast today. Yay, John! Yeah, tell us a little bit of tell us a bit about yourself. Where are you talking to us from?
Well, I am pretty far away from you guys. I am in near Charleston, South Carolina. I live about 20 miles from the beach, so it's kind of nice to be here. And it's, I guess, an opposite climate from where you are, Joe. So we're just getting cold here. Although in Charleston, it never gets too cold.
Exactly. Yeah. No, this is great. Thank you. John, I love the fact that the internet has connected us and allowed this conversation to happen. Yeah, and the conversations that we've had haven't been many today, but I have always found you to be incredibly thoughtful and really wanting to help solve a problem. So that's why I asked you if you would like to be a guest on this podcast today. So thank you for saying yes.
It's exciting.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, okay. So how did you get into headshot photography? Let's start with that, because it's not like you're 22 and this is not your first career.
True. Well, I guess, I can blame my father in some sense for my interest in photography. When I was very young, he bought me a camera and managed to pay for all the film developing of close-ups of bugs and flowers that were out of focus. And he never slowed me down. He bought me a... So the whole interest in photography has been around a long time. My early careers were in programming. So I've got a degree in biomedical computing, a master's degree in biomedical computing. So it takes me a long way from photography. But I think my tendency to look at all the details and pay attention to those, how things work, is part of what I do for photography too. Because headshot photography is different than, let's say, a wedding. A wedding photographer, which I've done as well. It's rushing. It's handling all the process, but it's just sort of a happy event type of thing. As a headshot, I'm right up in someone's face like I am in my own picture here. So, all the details about where the light hits and stuff like that. So when I was finished with my career in programming, I got back to saying, okay, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? Because I'd spent 10 years in a job programming where it was exciting, but it had absolutely no value at all. Money for the company I worked for. They paid me to do it nicely, but my wife is a counselor, and so I helped her at one point to start a practice, and I still work with her as her office manager. But when I decided, I was going to do a photography business, and the fact that the pandemic and the internet have made headshots actually a really important thing for people to have a good image of themselves to present to people who are going to meet them online. So, you know, I just started studying it, and that's what got me here.
Wow, you are a real problem solver for people, aren't you, John?
Yeah, no, that is definitely, especially commercial photography. It's not even about taking a great photo. It's about being the problem solver who can come in and say, okay, yeah, let's, I can set up and do these pictures in this part of your building, and we can get it done, and I can give you a calendar. You can pick the times. It's all, you know, finding all the ways to make it easier for my clients is really a big part of, you know, being successful, I think.
Yeah. And you raise a really interesting point. I was just thinking back to some of the photographers that I have used over the years. And the ones that I will always go back to are the ones that help to put me at ease. They spend a lot of time like that. It's like you've said, the camera that you use or the tool that you use is right up in somebody's face. So whenever we've got any hang ups about the way we look, or, you know, we just don't like people invading space so much, or just, I know for me, the first time I had some headshots done, I was doing fine. And I went, oh my God, these are going up online and everyone's going to see them and they're going to know what I look like. And oh my God. And that, I remember at that moment, that photographer actually just said, let's take a pause. Something's just happened here and I need to know what it is, because you don't want that much tension going out into the world. And I went, right. You could pick that up.
Yeah.
So, help me understand, and help this audience understand, why do we need a good quality headshot or series of headshots? Because it's not usually just one, right? Why are these important?
Well, I would say that having a good headshot where someone can look at it and say, oh, you know, it's almost like meeting someone the first time. You want to have something that's close up, that conveys that you are an approachable person. I mean, someone who's confident and approachable, and you can do that if you've been taught, you know, during the session. It's not something you'd ever really learn unless you're perhaps a speaker on stage. You probably learned some of that as far as presenting yourself. But expression coaching is a lot of what we do. It's like, it's, you know, teaching people, you know, what their face is doing when they smile, because a lot of people, they don't know what their face looks like.
Regardless of how much time we spend on Zoom each day, we don't know what our face looks like.
Yeah, especially it's a really on good Zoom. Zoom is tough. And cell phones are even worse.
Ooh, let's go there. Keep going.
Well, I can't. I mean, the fact that a cell phone has a wide angle lens, you have to get it really close to your face, and it distorts people's faces. And I actually read a study where the use of taking selfies on a cell phone camera changes someone's perspective of what they look like, because they see it on the camera, so that's what they think they look like. And they get, there's anxiety because they think their nose is big or their forehead is big, or, you know, all sorts of strange little features that, you know, because the way I've got it set up here on a regular camera, I can be close to it and it should be, you know, fairly representative of me. But cell phones are horrible.
That's a really important point. And I'm glad you brought it up so quickly, because it wasn't actually in the things we said we were going to talk about. So thank you for going there.
Yeah.
Because I think many therapists, and you know the therapist community or the counseling community. I mean, your wife is a counselor. And so you can see all the time people walking. And then we've got the whole selfie culture, like Joe pretending to take a selfie of us. And there's these myths out there that your cell phone's an awesome camera. Just use your awesome camera. Do it yourself. Why pay the money for this? Why pay the money for that? You can do it yourself. You know, and we've got courses being advertised through TikTok and Instagram on how to take the best selfies ever. But I think what I really appreciated about what you just said was, one of the most important, it's the true currency of any health professional is trust. The currency is not that the exchange of money is the value, but the true currency is trust. If somebody doesn't trust you, they're not going to work with you. And if we're going to choose somebody from their from a photo, because let's face it, that always happens. Like you see the photo, I like that person. I can see myself in that person. What do they have to say about themselves? Or in my case, I've read a person's profile, then I've gone and looked in the picture and went, there's a mismatch there. And that makes me feel uneasy. And I don't know what I need to do about that right now, but it makes it harder for me to take that next step because of that mismatch, right? So if we've got a selfie of us somewhere and we could actually be turning people off, the people that we want to work with, that could be what's happening, right? Yeah.
It could. I mean, it's interesting. There's a lot of psychology involved in photography like this. And there's something called embodiment research, and it's you know, I didn't take a whole lot out of it because it's really, I mean, it gets in some really intense directions when you look at it. But one of the simplest parts of it is that when you know, everything, just by the fact that we are human and everything we do has to come from the fact that we observe it through eyes and sound and everything else, but our perspective has emotional responses that we have no control over.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I found out is that, and they use it in marketing a lot, is that if you're looking at anything, and it could be a person's face, it could be a toaster, it doesn't really matter. If you are looking down towards it, you have a slightly negative impression of it. And if you're looking up at it, it's more likely that you have a positive response to it. Not always.
Interesting.
Sure. And so, but when you're looking up at something, then there's the combination of what you hear or read when you're looking at it. So it's like I use this with my clients and said, you know, if you're looking it up at a person and, you know, it's your boss saying you got to come to the office, that's probably not a good emotional response, even though you're looking it up, you know, that comes to your desk or something. But if in the other side, you know, someone, you know, comes and hands you a check and says, you've been doing a great job, here's your bonus. If you're looking up at them, it actually, I mean, that includes, it improves your thing. So one of the things that I do in terms of headshots is that I'm always, I mean, my camera is probably lined up about where their collarbones are, pointing up just a little bit. And of course, selfies are up here.
Way down. Yeah.
And people are, I mean, it's honestly a thing that I don't know, nobody really talks about it, but it's a thing that your mind is going to think less of someone if you're looking down at them, even in photographs.
So that's fascinating because we take selfies with the camera up.
Absolutely.
To get rid of the double chin. Right. Sure. So it's really about our vanity, but we often, as the line I'm putting on, I go, well, this is going to put me in the best possible picture so that people who see this picture are going to be really attracted to this picture and they're going to go, wow, I want to work with Joe. Essentially what you're saying is I do that often enough and potential clients go, that's Joe. And then they're already putting me down. Like they're already thinking I am less than. They're not necessarily cognitive going, well, she is less than me, therefore I won't. But they're already thinking I'm looking down on her. Okay. But then if we take something from underneath and we make forcing the person to look way up at us, then no health professional on the planet's going to want that because we can't have clients being like revering us. Nobody wants to be a guru in a therapy room. But we also know that the direct face, that can sometimes be intimidating. Right. So if I'm right up and I've had people say that to me, it's like, can you back off a bit, Joe? Like I need you to not be quite so in my face, especially because when I get excited, I get loud and I take up lots of space. So that can be a bit intimidating. So you're saying that there's this angle that you use, which is just looking slightly up because it then helps to elevate us professionally.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Yeah.
And then in a headshot, there's a little posing thing. So you lean back the slightest bit and bring your head forward. It does exactly the same thing as looking up.
But, oh, good God. You know, it does, you know, too. I just try it. For anyone who's not watching the video, I just did it. So for all the physiotherapists and occupational therapists and exercise physiologists who are trying to teach us how to do neck retractions, that's essentially what we just did. We just pushed our neck forward and my double chins all disappeared. Thanks, John.
Something, something to take on for any picture you ever have taken again.
Exactly right. So wait until I get my neck retraction sorted, people. So it's not the retracting bit that you want. It's actually when you thrust forward that you want, just for anyone playing along without the video. This episode of the Entrepreneurial Clinician Podcast is brought to you by Purple Co's Activating Resilience Program. This 8-week program is foundational for anyone who wants to develop a genuine practice of resilience. I asked Activating Resilience co-creator and coach Kylie Worry to share how this program has helped transform her world. Here's what she had to say.
Many, many years ago, when I learned about this model of building resilience, I was so burned out and so tired. I was so overwhelmed and I was looking for a bright light in a very dark place. I found that light and it gave me some amazing tools to use with my clients. Tools that help me feel lighter, more empowered, and get better results with my clients. What I didn't realize was how this tool would support me in my own life to look at my own resources and how to know how to support myself when facing adversity. This tool has supported me to shift my mindset when facing adversity to look for the solution, to have a hope for a better outcome, rather than being stuck in the problem. So many gifts have come from learning about this model for activating resilience. It's so much more than a tool to use in your business or with your clients. It's a tool for life.
For more information about the Activating Resilience program, check the show notes or go to purpleco.com.au/activating-resilience. Excellent news. Okay, so that's really helpful. So then let's debunk another myth now that we've debunked the whole selfies myth. Selfies are better, they're fine, they're cheaper. So debunk the myth for us that headshots are just expensive. They're an expensive waste of money. You don't need a headshot photographer. Just get your friend who's got a good camera to do it.
Well, I guess that's my life right now, is trying to say, debunk, you know, that. This is worth it. I've had plenty of people who've come in afterwards and said, oh my gosh, this picture that you took of me makes me feel confident or even attractive. I mean, there are people who come in saying, you can't take a good picture of me. Or I used to get it at weddings a lot, but I've even had it at headshots. You know, I'm sorry, I'm going to break your camera. That whole, like,
I can understand that. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's making fun of it, but it's a real emotion for people. I don't know. I think that, I mean, unless your friend happens to know about how to get a person to create an expression that looks, you know, approachable and confident, and they can take a good picture, and you know, if there are plenty of people who don't have a lot of money, I mean, and it might be too expensive. But if you're looking at something in terms of being a clinician and an entrepreneur, I mean, those are investments into you know, marketing yourself. I think to me, I've seen the value of it for people that I've photographed. Not everyone's expensive. There's a range of different photographers as well. So you can find someone who's maybe not as experienced, not as trained, but it can still take a good portrait picture.
Or you can get it done right the first time.
Right. I mean, you know, you can save up your money. I had someone who contacted me and said, yeah, I really need a professional headshot. How much do you charge? And I told her, she says, all right, I'll start saving my money. I mean, you know, we pay money for all sorts of stuff.
On this podcast, we're not here to discount anything. It is about making sure that we are putting our best foot forward and being paid or experience the lifestyle that we want as a result of that. Your contribution to this is, please let me share with you how you can take a good quality headshot, what you need to ask for, what you need to be aware of, so that you're not wasting your money, right? Because if you get crap headshots done, you're going to think it's expensive. If you get headshots done that you'll never use, you're going to think it's expensive.
Or even worse, you could have pictures that people look at and are not attracted to. I mean, like, you know, just the perspective saying, you know, I haven't seen many that were professionally taken, but plenty of ones that were, you know, taken, you could tell they weren't in a professional studio or even, I mean, I can do them outdoors too, but, you know, you can tell that they're not. And you look at them and say, they're not really serious, you know. And some of the selfies are horrible. I've said, we've got a couple counselors in our area where they just look and say, they don't look like they've got a PhD.
You know? Wow. What an interesting thing. What an interesting thing to say. It's like, so does your, and this is probably what happened to me. So I've read this person's credentials and gone, wow, this person sounds exactly like who I need. And then I've gone to their photo and it's obvious now from what you're saying, it was just a quick happy snap because I needed to get this up on the website. Right. And it was really hard for me. It was a mismatch. And it's not because of, you know, what they looked like. It was now after this conversation, it was how I'm taught, like, are they as professional as what they say? Right. It's like, it's almost like, so the particular person I was looking for had all these credentials. And then I saw the photo and I'm like, that person looks like a nutty professor. Do I want, they look disorganized, they look disheveled. It's like a passport photo, so no smiling, no glasses, right? And it was poor lighting, so they looked sallow. And that disconnect was really hard for me. Is that how we want to be represented?
Right. That's exactly, I was talking to someone that, a friend who I've done his headshots and just, I was, you know, looking around saying, oh, what's the best thing you can take away from having the headshots done? He said, well, I think, you know, you have to know what you want to accomplish and what's your intent with that photograph. I mean, he's a storyteller, so he wanted something quirky. He didn't want to look like a professional and, you know, anything but someone who's fun. You want to be around him. And I know with my wife, Julie, we've spent time taking photographs, trying to get just the expression that she would want one of her clients to have looking at her, you know, in person across the room. I want to tell her things. And so it takes time. But, you know, if you know what you want ahead of time, it's a lot easier. Because if you just go in and say, I want a headshot, someone can spend 15 minutes with you, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, and take a photograph that's a headshot. But if you go in and say, this is what I want to do. This is, I've got, you know, I do this. I want people to see this in my face. And, you know, I've had people who, you know, there are things about them that they don't like, you know, and we like things so that it, you know, you don't necessarily see the scar on their neck or something, you know. But, you know, that's part of being a good headshot photographer, is to be able to talk to someone and say, okay, this is what I want. And so this is what I can do for you.
Yeah, I think you raise a really important point there, because so many clinicians and health professionals have enough trouble thinking that they're being really public online anyway. It's terrifying. It's one of the first things that comes up as a mindset issue when we're wanting to do that and money. Huh, funny about that. So marketing and money are the two things, and look what we're going to have to talk about today. But we can't ignore the fact that we live in a world where online, and I know for people in the USA, if you do not have an online presence of any sort, then you're missing out. Now, it doesn't need to be your own website, people. You've got other options. One of them's free. It's called LinkedIn. If you want to be taken seriously, there you go. Some free advice from Joe there. Anywho, moving on from that, where was I headed with that? here we go. So when a person, if you had an ideal client coming to you, what would they be able to tell you that they needed to get from this headshot experience?
Well, I think if they, you know, if they can describe what they do and how they want their clients to see them. I mean, that's hard to do necessarily, because, you know, do I want to look like their best friend? Do I want to look like someone who's, you know, more serious? I mean, plenty of people come in and say, I want to smile. I'm a banker. I want to look like I can take care of your money. You know, so it's someone, I mean, it's hard. It's not hard. but it's important to find ways to discuss what the client's actually looking for and how to express it. Because the photograph stuff is that happens. I mean, there are definitely ways to get an expression and a good photograph. But I think that's the interesting part for me, is to know where to go with this photograph.
Yeah. So I know, I'm just thinking, so the last time I had some headshots done, or branding shots, but we'll get to that question in a mm-hmm. minute. I know that I can come across intense. I know that I what I say goes. Black is black, white is white. I don't enjoy the gray. But I am an incredibly empathetic, compassionate person who genuinely cares about people. So I worked on this particular issue and said, I actually need to take some of the intensity that can come with me. So I went to a fun face. I've got pictures of me sitting on tables reading books. I've got a picture of me with a crown on my head making fun of the whole thing, you know, and those mm-hmm. photos are so much fun for me to use, because it brings the fun side out of me that not everybody gets to see every day. And then there's one of me sitting upside down in a chair, quite literally. My head is on the floor where your feet usually go. That headshot gets the most reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So for me, it was being able to say those things. I want people to find me safe. I want people to know that, yes, the work we do is hard, but we don't have to take ourselves so seriously all the time. But for me, the whole thing was, I want people to feel safe with me. But the way we took those pictures wasn't like, we could have done that in so many different ways, but we chose to do it the fun, quirky way, and that mm-hmm. works for me.
Right.
And like you said with your wife, you're looking to capture for her a look on her face or in the way that she holds herself that says, tell me stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what it's like working with her, because I've had the pleasure of working with mm-hmm. her. It's like, oh, everybody wants to tell you stuff. And then she tells you every week all the people who have told her stuff and hard stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she gets little people telling her really hard stuff.
Yes.
Like, she's quite incredible. So because we spend a lot of time in marketing learning, especially when we're in the beginning, it's all about your ideal client. It's all about your ideal client. It's all about your ideal client. But I think we forget that our ideal client is going to see us visually. So mm-hmm. what is it that we want to represent? Because I'm thinking of some headshots now, particularly old school headshots, where there are some health professionals who just look angry.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got the ones with the white coat and the stethoscope that just makes me go, I don't want to go near you. You're going to hurt me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no, that's, I mean, I don't know, I guess, here, there are not too many behavioral health people who would use the white coat look.
Yeah.
But no, definitely. It's, you know, white coats are pretty stressful to a lot of people.
I had a website designer put a white coat on my website once, and I left it there for a little bit too long and went, I can't have this on my website. I can't have this here. What we were trying to convey is that we work collaboratively with medical professionals, but that was not the image to use to do that.
Well, it's funny here. I didn't even know this, but I did some, I mean, my daughter's a nurse practitioner. My niece is a nurse, an RN. And so I've done headshots for both of them. And my daughter had her white coat, you know, because nurse practitioners wear white coats. Nurses don't. And so I asked her about a white coat, and her niece is coming, and I was like, I don't have, she doesn't have one. And my daughter's like, no, she doesn't have one. Nurse practitioners wear white coats. Ah. Nurses don't. It's like, okay, I got that.
So yes, I can just imagine everybody's now thinking of the demarcation that we have in the health.
No, like, we've got
exercise physiologists, do not mistake them with physical therapists. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your psych teams, do not mistake them for LPCs. And your rehab counselors like me, we're way down the bottom of the totem pole. We make fun of everybody. But that's really interesting, isn't it? That whole ego trip that we get about the white coat.
Yeah, that's a little bit of that going on.
Anyway, moving on. That'll be a fun aside for everybody listening. Just quickly, are there differences between a branding shoot and a headshot shoot?
Absolutely.
Okay. And do you find a lot of people coming to you asking for headshots, but what they really want is branding shoots?
Not so much because if you look at my website, it's headshots. There's no, you don't see anything below, the top.
The collarbone. Yeah. Yeah.
So, although I have, there were a few people who said, well, can you take a few farther back? And it's like, yeah, sure. Not a problem. Mm-hmm. But a branding session is really, it's much more about your marketing. I don't know. I'm trying to think of the right words. It's marketing and advertising in some sense that, like you said, your headshot, you call them headshots, but they were, sitting on your head is not a headshot, even though it's a great photograph, tells a great story.
It's not a headshot.
A branding photo. And I think, people who work with people generally need both.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that in branding photos, the headshot's probably the first thing that you would capture. And then, there's a lot of, I've got a list of different stuff that I like to see on branding shots. There's, you get your headshot, you get a working shot. So it's you, but, in your location doing something that, people, so if you're, in a retail store or if you're at your desk as a clinician, you can arrange part of your work environment around you for a photograph. Those are much more casual than, than I guess most of the branding stuff is pretty casual. You want to, take your personality and put it into your business. That's sort of the personal branding idea. So, if you've got a certain vibe to what you do, if you want to appear, one of Julie's favorite headshots is one where she's laughing. The smile is just big and she's laughing and, that I wouldn't call more necessarily a headshot, but it's a good branding photo because she wants people to know that when she's talking to them, they're going to laugh. And that's the intent of going with that kind of thing. And then some people use personal lifestyle photos where, they're, with their kids or, if they're like a, very personal brand of some, they're making kids toys and you want to see person playing with their kids with some of the toys that they make and product shots, stuff like that. So, the branding stuff is way more interesting and creative, I think.
I really appreciate you helping the audience understand that what I was describing was not a headshot because I kind of did that deliberately. I went, we've got a perfect example that I'm trying to express audibly because we haven't got the visual representation of that. But I think a lot of people like the fun and excitement of a branding shoot. I don't think people understand the nuances and the importance of having a really good quality headshot. So for somebody like Julie, where on the interwebs, where would you use a really good quality headshot?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's on her website under her bio. She's got a LinkedIn page. I think it's there. Mm-hmm. It's Psychology Today. I don't know if they work in Australia or not.
But they do.
That's... You want something that looks close enough so that you can see a person's face and see, that sense that you feel connected to them somehow. Honestly, most of the rest of Julie's stuff is more landscape-y things that are local to our area to kind of connect her to here. We haven't done a branding headshot or head session yet. So some people put them on their email signatures. Sometimes it's on a... if you're producing something in terms of like a workbook or a book not so much, handout type things, but to have, or if you're presenting, where someone wants, asks you for a headshot, because they want to have a picture of you. They don't want to have a picture of you sitting on your head necessarily.
No, I wouldn't use that. So I do not use that picture in my media kits. Let me very, very clearly, I do not use the picture of me upside down for a media kit, but I do have a headshot that I use as a media for my media kit. Mm-hmm. And a media kit doesn't just mean getting in on TV type media. It could be for a podcast interview or a YouTube interview, or more likely, here in Australia, we call it Source Bottle. You guys call it HARO. So it's where reporters are looking for advice. And so, again, if you don't have a good quality headshot, no one in the media is going to take you seriously.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So the first thing we're taught at speaker school, you are going to have to invest in good quality headshots. The first thing they would say, we can help you with your speaker's presentation and your stage presence, but until you've got that headshot, nobody's going to take notice of you.
In that case, it's important to keep them up to date.
Yes.
Because if you've got one from 15, 20 years ago, where you obviously were in a, I know, gosh, I would have had hair then.
Mine's the hair as well. My hair all came out in 2020. It's like my hair's very different now.
So, yeah, it's good to keep things up to date. Even if you think you don't, if you think you looked better then, it's still important to keep them up to date.
Yeah, but it's not about us. It's not about our ego and looking better. It's about being able to make that connection with a person and doing it visually, which many people will find confronting. That was the confronting bit. People judge us on how we look. It doesn't mean that we all need to go on a diet. That is not what I'm saying, and please don't. What I'm saying is the way you turn up online needs to be the way a client sees you when they turn up in a room with you.
Right.
So if you look angry or standoffish or stressed or in pain or like you don't want to be there when you're getting a headshot and you put that headshot out to the world, number one, clients are going to find it really hard to come and see you because you're not actually making them feel safe. So let's help bridge that gap, because let's face it, clients find it hard enough to come and see us anyway. We don't have to make it harder for them.
And honestly, the easy access to some of the filters that you could do on a cell phone picture, if you see your therapist who's going to be honest and open with you and getting into all your details, and you see that they're not who they say they are when you meet them in person, I don't know this personally, but I would imagine that there would be a reaction there, like, oh wow, you cover up all that stuff in a filter. But anyway, that's just my impression.
Sorry, Joe's drawer just dropped. That is powerful. I've never used filters because I just get so distracted by all the things on the social media. But again, I'm very much about what you see is what you get. And I think that's a philosophy that we can all take. So, ladies, gentlemen, with your gray hair or no hair, what you see is what you get. John, this has been really fascinating and interesting. And I know it's answered some questions for me. Number one, start saving up for another headshot, because I haven't done them for a couple of years. So how can people get in touch with you? Like, what's the best way to get in touch with you if they want to ask a question or if they want to book a shoot? I would love for people to book a shoot with John, people. How do they get in touch with you?
Well, my website is it's called SomervilleHeadshots.com. Yep. And it's Somerville, like summer the season. Somerville. And I've got all my contact stuff there. So, if you can go there, you can hit the little about or the contact thing and you have more information about me than that you need. So that works.
Not the easiest way to find you. Just give us one thing to do, John. People love it when we just give them one thing to do. So exactly. John's address will be in the show notes. It'll be on the social medias when I get this one published, which is going to be great. So John, there's a chance you and I are going to be meeting in real life maybe next year. You probably don't know that, but Julie and I were talking about it again this morning.
She's saying it might be a little while longer because I guess we're next summer.
Yeah, but anywho, we'll see. I propositioned something today and she got excited about it. But anywho, when we get to meet each other in real life and we're going to a real cafe, what coffee will I order for you?
Oh, interesting. Well, I don't know if it's not something I'm making myself. I mean, I've got a favorite that I make here. I don't see it very often, but it's a Turkish coffee.
I would love to order you a Turkish coffee. Yeah. Can we? Oh, let's go somewhere where we can actually get Turkish coffee.
Yeah, I would love to go somewhere and have it. I mean, I've made it myself, but I would love to have one made authentically, because I don't think it's authentic. But
Yes.
Lots of sugar, a little bit. I mean,
yeah.
I know that's not honest, but
Oh, we're going to go find that. Okay. Thank you, man after my own heart with the coffee thing. This has been great. I appreciate your time and your energy and your thoughtfulness today, John. And you have been listening to the Entrepreneurial Clinician Podcast. Until next time, go be your awesome self. And that is another episode of the Entrepreneurial Clinician Podcast done. Just want to say a big thank you to all the people who make this podcast possible. To all of my guests, a big thank you for sharing your time, your energy, your wisdom with me and my community. You are greatly appreciated. To Debbie and Jen, thank you for making this possible. And in the spirit of respect, please ask for and receive permission before you use any of my intellectual property. Because you know what? Not giving appropriation to creators is just not cool. Until next episode, go be your awesome self. Oh, and by the way, please make sure you subscribe, rate, and leave me a review so that other people are able to find this podcast. That's kind of important. Go do that.